Welcome to the Church of Quell Creek podcast, a ministry of the Church of Quell Creek in Amarillo, Texas. Dive in with us as we open God's words and then stick around for a message from our pastor.
You're going to realize that if you're reading along with us through this series, that there's a gap in where I preached last week and this week. To finish all through the text of Exodus in a timely manner, in midweeks, I'm going to get with our team and we're going to post that teaching during the week. So I want you to make sure that you're paying attention to our social medias and things like that so that you can be a part of the teaching as we go through the whole book of Exodus. So this past week, we posted the gap of time between when Moses was born to when Moses is now going to have this moment in Exodus chapter 3. I mentioned this week that Acts tells us that Moses was 40 years old when he fled, and then another 40 years of being in exile in the land of Midian. And so now Moses, at the ripe age of 80, is going to be given a ministry, one that's going to last the rest of his life, one that is going to be taxing, one that's going to be joyful, one that's going to be full of complaining and celebrating. It's going to be a lot. And all that to be said, if you're in this room and you're over 80 and you think that God is done with you, guess again. By the way, God also allowed some of the people prior in Scripture to have a child at 100. So take that. April and I were just mentioning the other day that we have some friends that just had a kid. They're our age. And we celebrated with them through laughter. Lord bless them. I don't want to have a kid at this age. Lord, watch over them and guide them. Give them peace because they're going to need it. But all I say is this. Too often we read through Scripture and what Hollywood gives us, young actors playing roles like this moment where God calls Moses, where they look young and fit and have abs. Here is Moses, 80, herding sheep. Not a real glorious start. Away from his people. By the way, also mentioned this week that when Moses goes out to his people before he runs from Egypt, he has trained all of his life for 40 years to be an Egyptian. Trained in their thinking, trained in their understanding. He is, by all accounts, with the exception of birth, an Egyptian. And now he's going to go another 40 years being a Midianite. Still not being taught or trained in his own people. And God is going to send an Egyptian Midian back to rescue his people. He is the wrong guy. But God doesn't think so. God knows he's the right guy. So let's pick up in the text in Exodus chapter 3, verse 3. We started with Moses is watching over his flock, and then it says an angel appears to him, picking up in verse 3. So Moses thought, I must go over and look at this flaming bush, fire within a bush. And Moses looked, he saw that the bush was on fire, but that it was not consumed. Verse 3, so Moses thought, I must go over and look at this remarkable sight. Why isn't that bush burning up? I want to stop by saying this. This isn't the first time Moses has seen a bush on fire. It's just the first time it's not going anywhere. It wouldn't have been uncommon, but he spends some time looking at it and goes, that's different. I'm going to go take a look. And as he walks forward, verse 4, when the Lord saw they had gone over to look, God called out to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. Here I am, he answered. Don't come any closer, he said. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he continued, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. I want to stop here by saying this. Moses spent 40 years under the teaching of the Egyptians, under understanding their gods, understanding their ways. And now he's with his father-in-law, this Midianite priest who's trying to show him that you have a birthright in God. And now as God speaks to him, God tells him exactly who he is. I am the God of your forefathers. And Moses' right response was to shield his face because he understood that God was not small, God was not weak, but God was there. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people in Egypt and have heard them crying out because of their oppressors. I know about their sufferings. This is a powerful, powerful moment. Just so you know, church, God knows your sufferings. He knows. He hears them. He cares. Verse says, and I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them from a land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the territory of the Canaanites, Hethites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. So because the Israelites cry for the help, for help has come to me, I've also seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh so that you might lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. I just want to stop here by categorizing that God does not misspeak ever. And in this moment, what God is telling Moses is, I'm sending you to go get my people out. This is an amazing moment. This is a clarifying moment, not only for Moses, but for God to declare in this moment, as is always, his promise is he watches over the Israelite people. I love this next moment. Verse 11, but Moses asked God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt? This is a question that we're all going to ask when God calls upon us. God, do you really know me? I mean, I'm just a shepherd of Midian. I'm a runaway killer. Are you sure it's me? There's a pivotal moment in Scripture that we're going to learn about shortly. And it's this, that Moses has an older brother, Aaron. Aaron is still under the oppression of the Egyptians. He's older than Moses. He's with the people. He's lived his whole life looking like the people. He is, at this point, amongst the people. He's the right guy. I mean, if we were going to write this story, we wouldn't choose the killer. We would go after the brother. I mean, he's been there. He's been the oppressed guy. He should be the guy that leads the people out. Not this runaway. Not this guy that's now 80 and doesn't know anything about being oppressed. If anything, he has had the best of it. He's run away and he's found a bride and now he's working all the sheep. He's got a good job. He hasn't had to lay bricks. He hasn't had to get whipped every day. He is the wrong guy. But God thinks he's the right guy. So when Moses says, who am I? I think you're talking to the wrong guy. God says something amazing back. Verse 12, it says, he answered, I will certainly be with you. And that's enough. Just so you know today, church, God's with you. Amen. That should be enough for us too. Amen. But that's not where he stops. I'll certainly be with you, and this will be a sign to you that I'm the one who sent you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, you will all worship God at this mountain. He's saying, when you leave, you're going to come back here, and that's how you're going to know. Then Moses said to God, if I go and the Israelites say to them, the God of our fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, then what's his name? What should I tell them? God replied to Moses, and I want, before I read this, how is this text written in your Bible? I know how it's written in mine. It's in caps. In italics. It's different, right? It's different because what God's about to say is personal. It's something that God will say of himself that eventually Jesus will say of himself. what do I tell them? Who are you? What if they ask what your name is? See, in Egypt, they had lots of God's names. We'll get to that. But in this moment, God replies to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the Israelites. The Lord, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is how I'm to be remembered in every generation. I don't know before this time, and certainly we don't get it in recorded history of the scriptures, that God had ever spoken to Moses before. But in this moment, he speaks well. Moses, I'm sending you back to my people. But that's not where he starts, is it? He says, Moses, I am the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now I'm sending you back to my people to rescue them from their oppressors because I've heard their cries and I've seen their affliction and you're to go and bring them out. And this is the sign. You're going to bring them back here so you'll know it's me. I wish I could tell you that Moses from this point goes, okay, God, let's go. He doesn't, does he? Who knows if it's fear? I think it's some of that. Who knows if it's inadequacy? Certainly he battles that. All we know is this, that God told Moses something. I will be with you. Amen. There is a generation outside these doors that are hoping for rescue. They feel like the world has beat them down and they feel oppressed. The enemy has killed their spirits, deafened their ears. He's put them on edge, and certainly politics has not helped. And they're crying out for true help. But we know where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord. It's their help too. But I believe, church, that it's time to reclaim the name of the Lord. It's time. It's time to reclaim the name of the Lord in our world. It's time that we take the gospel to the ends of the world for his name's sake, because he is still God. He is still the great I am. And they still desperately need him. It's time that we reclaim the name of the Lord in this church. It's time that we make his name known greatly, that we equip ourselves for the purpose of him. That when we enter this room, we don't enter simply to sing songs or hear some guy talk, but that we enter this room to equip ourselves, to arm ourselves, and to be readied for a world that's outside these doors. It's time we reclaim the name of the Lord in our homes. It's time that we make him the very first fruits of everything that we have and do. That our mindsets are upon him. Our marriages are upon him. Our children are based upon him. That every piece of our homes are clothed by him. And it's time that we reclaim the name of the Lord in our lives. It's time that we start to preach to ourselves in the mirror every day that you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, every part of you, your mind, heart, soul, and body are his. And then in everything that we do, we should reclaim the name of the Lord continuously in our lives. Because when you don't, oppression will continue. And we will see the enemy continue to enslave our neighbors, our classmates, our friends. And he will give himself the glory, but we were meant to give all the glory to God. Amen. It matters. It matters that we reclaim the name of the Lord, even now. In Exodus chapter 4, in verse 1, Moses has an amazing moment. he's talking with God about what does he do when he's confronted? What about when the pressure's on? Moses answered, what if they won't believe me and will not obey me but say the Lord didn't appear to you? Lord asked him, what's in your hand? A staff, he replied. Throw it on the ground, he said. So Moses threw it on the ground. I want you to know, Moses doesn't have any problem with momentary obedience before God. Most of us in this room probably don't struggle with certain sins while we're sitting in this room, do we? Because before God, we feel like all is good. It's in the moments where we're not in this room, that we're not in our accountability groups, that we struggle. Throw it on the ground, he said. So Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Y'all, what? Moses was just holding the staff in his hand, and he throws it on the ground, and I would like to think that Moses became like Kyle. I hate snakes. I don't even like snakeskin boots. They're ugly. If you wore them today, God bless you, throw them away. He throws this down, and that snake turns around, and he's like, nah, and he's like, no, 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 I'm good. Don't like snakes either, God. So he runs from it. He just threw his staff down. It turns into a snake, and he runs from it. And the Lord told Moses, stretch out your hand and grab it by the tail. Uh-uh. No, Lord, just turn it back into a staff again. Why don't you do that? I'll pick it up. What does Moses do? So he stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. Being obedient to God is sometimes scary. Amen. But obedience is necessary. Yes. Amen. This will take place, he continued, so that they'll believe that the Lord, the God of the fathers of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. In addition, the Lord said to him, put your hand inside your cloak. So he put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, his hand was diseased and resembled snow. I gotta tell y'all, this is not a good Moses moment. This is terrifying. Put your hand back inside your cloak, he said. So he put his hand back inside his cloak, and when he took it out, it had become like the rest of his skin. If they will not believe you and not respond to the evidence of the first sign, they may believe the evidence of the second sign. And if they don't believe even these two signs, or listen to what you say, take some water from the Nile, pour it on dry ground, and the water that you take from the Nile will become blood on the ground. But Moses replied to the Lord, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, either in the past or recently or since you have been speaking to your servant, because my mouth and my tongue are sluggish. It's another excuse. I want you to know something. The Lord knows you more than you know yourself. Amen. But it has never stopped me, and I bet it hadn't stopped you from giving him excuses. Maybe you're 80 today, and God's called you to do something. You told him, I'm 80, God. I mean, you don't know. My hips hurt. I'm on a pension. I don't know a lot of scripture, God. Like, God needs our understanding or our hips to serve him. And this is exactly what God's about to tell Moses. I think a lot of times as they're talking, God has had to be kind of forceful with Moses. And I want you to know something. There's not an inflection moment in this language. So as you read this part, please understand me. This is your pastor's thoughts. Can you categorize that differently? The Lord said to him, who placed the mouth in humans? Who makes a person mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and I will teach you what to say. Moses said, please, Lord, send someone else. I have always read this moment as mean. Have you? As though God's screaming at Moses. I've always read it that way until I had children. Kids are tough sometimes. And you want to just go, I said, right? But you realize you love them so stinking much that sometimes you have to go, 1001, 1002. Please, Lord, don't let me kill you. Anyways, but in that moment, it says that God's anger burned against Moses. He's in a holy ground moment. He is still in this proximity. And in that moment, God's anger unleashed. Woo! And then God said, isn't Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, he is on his way now to meet you. He'll rejoice when he sees you. You'll speak with him and tell him what to say, and I'll help both of you and him to speak. And I will teach you both what to do. He will speak to the people for you. He will serve as a mouth for you, and he will serve. You will serve as God to him. And take the staff in your hand that you'll perform the signs with. Why was Aaron already on his way? God knew. I always miss that point. God, before this moment, speaks to Aaron and goes, Aaron, start walking to a land you don't even know about. Aaron, start walking even though you have oppressors that should stop you. Start heading this way. You're going to meet your brother. He is stubborn, like Kyle Clayton. But I can use him. But here's the thing, Aaron. I'm going to tell y'all both what to do. You're going to talk some. Some. It doesn't last long, does it, church? Doesn't last long before Pharaoh, Aaron quits talking. And Moses starts. But he was on his way as Moses, tending his flock, walked upon a bush that was on fire. And thought to himself, I've never seen that before. God already knows. And God desires to use you in his plan. That's what the Lord wants to do. The Lord wants to use you in his plan for his glory. And he knows our stubborn nature. And he knows our lack of faith. And he knows our excuses. He still loves you. He still wants you to be a part of it. He knows your frailties. And I believe that in spite of all of that, we have a God who has a plan. And I want you to know today that he can overcome our thoughts of deficiencies. I don't know what it looks like when you spend some spiritual mirror time. If in your time with the Lord, you just kind of go through, Lord, I'm not attractive, I'm not smart, I'm not this, I'm not that. Whatever that may be, as you go through your list, you've given that selfish list before yourself. But I want to take you back again to maybe my favorite moment in this church building. It happened in a men's group with a man named Michael Pinkston, who got before him, before this group of men, he goes, okay, you little cupcakes, let me tell you something. All of you in this room have been telling God all the stuff about yourself, but I want to tell you something, baby. You are not that. You need to look at yourself in the mirror, and you need to say, you're going down today. You're going down, baby, because God's got you. Amen. So listen here, you little cupcakes. Go ahead and look at yourself and point at yourself and say, you're going down. Go ahead, church. You're going down. Come on. You're going down. Quit pointing at me. Point at yourself. You're going down. Because you are not your own. You have a God that's with you. Can I just tell you a super duper pastor secret? I mean, lean in a little bit. I just want you to hear this. Even if you're not saved, God's still with you. Buddy, I know. Some of y'all in this room are like, well, then I don't need Jesus at all. Let me just tell you something. The fact that you took a breath means that God's with you. But I want you to know something. Scripture tells us that as appointed men wants to be born, then to die, and then the afterlife. Which just means this. In that amount of time, between you're born and you die, everybody in this room has got a decision to make, and today is your day. Amen. I'm going to give it to you straight. Today is your day. Either today, you have to say, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, that he rose again to conquer death, and that he sits at the right hand of the Father preparing a place for me. Or you have to say, I reject that. That's it. That's your choice today. But you got to make it today. And by your actions and your belief, you have made that decision. Either I believe Jesus is who he says he is and he can forgive my sin and lead my life, or I reject it. Either way, there's an afterlife. Amen. And either way, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. Either with Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life in heaven or in hell. And those that reject Jesus in life will spend eternally rejected by God. But you got to make that decision today. And I promise you this, if it's not yes for Jesus today, it's no. Make no mistake about it. It's not about religion. It's not about an aisle. It's not about a pastor. It's about a Savior. Amen. And your actions and your belief today will determine if you believe Jesus is who he says he is. Quit giving him your excuses. Quit telling him your deficiencies. Because he has a plan for your life, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And he's going to make a way for you. But I want to tell you something. Today is your starting point to come near a burning bush of truth and declare to God, I will go where you send me. And I know that I may not look the part. I may not have the best backstory. Moses is a murderer. He murdered a guy. That's in Scripture. He's a murderer. And God's about to use him to rescue his people. Today, it doesn't matter how deep your backstory went, today is your front story. In Christ, you should be saved. And it should start today by faith. So let me pray for you. I want to pray that today that you would know Jesus and put your hope, trust, and faith in him. And today that you would be saved. Can I pray for you? Heavenly Father, I pray for my friends in this room. God, I pray right now as they are confronted by my voice that they would be confronted by your Spirit. And God, that you would speak to them and that they would become obedient in faith to declare you as Savior of their life, the forgiver of their sin, the leader from here on out. God, I pray today that they would finally put their hope and trust and faith in you and you alone. You're worthy. You're worthy, Jesus. So we declare today by faith that we want you to be the lead of our life. We give up ours. And we declare the old person that we came in as dies today, that you would take our life up and lead it from here on out. Oh, Jesus, that you would forgive our sins and lead us. God, I pray for this room, for those that do know you, that they would start to become emboldened today because you have already forgiven us and now, Lord, you want to lead us. And God, for way too long, we have been sage people without a leader. And today we give you the leadership of our lives, no matter the age, no matter the background, no matter the deficiencies. You are enough, Lord. So lead us. Lead us into our workplaces. Lead us into our schools. Lead us into our homes. Lead us in this church. Oh, Jesus, that you would lead us. And God, that today we would declare your greatness, even now. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus.
Hey, this is Pastor Kyle. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you see the love that Jesus has for you by paying the price for your sins. I pray that if you haven't already, you would take the time right now to talk to Jesus and ask him to forgive your sins and lead your life from here on out. We would love to talk to you about Jesus and getting to know him better. Contact us by emailing us at info@tcqc.org, tcqc.org, or by finding us on social media. We would love to meet you. I hope you had a wonderful day, and as always, we would love for you to join us for worship really soon.